Let's test. Test, test. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
That's pretty good.
Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual.
You've just got a smile and hang out with intelligent people.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
SBI! Man. Extreme!
Dude, so it took us 9 episodes.
Yes.
To get to double digits.
Yeah.
And now there will be 89 more before we get add another zero.
Special.
Oh yeah.
We better get busy. that kind of worries me to think about needing to fill up 89 more episodes with content.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Huh. How long so that's what? How many weeks? Every other week, so that's like 4 years.
What?
Yeah, cuz you know, right?
There's 365 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Perfect.
So it'll be like a couple months.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of content to churn out in a couple months, huh?
You know, it'd be a lot easier to get content if we had listeners, you know, maybe emailing us in some ideas.
That would be good. Hmm. I think we have a suggestion waiting in our inbox, actually.
Do we?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, maybe we should actually open our inbox once in a while.
that's part of the problem. We're wildly popular. We just don't pay any
We've
kind
never
of attention.
Actually opened our email. We forgot our password.
That's right.
Oh well. You ready for today?
Yeah.
It's gonna be an interesting one.
It's gonna question what you think you know.
Do you ever feel like a confident idiot?
If I say boldly yes, does that you know? What is that? Is that irony? I don't know if that's irony.
I don't know.
Like, I would be displaying an example of the thing.
Yes. That you claim to not, or do be.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched?
I do sometimes feel like I'm being watched.
Like you're on a reality show?
I don't think, no. I don't think I go quite that far.
Okay.
I don't watch enough reality TV to, like, you know, feel that way.
I haven't watched much reality TV in a long time. I get angered by people getting angered by it.
Wow. So that's a layer deeper than...
Yeah.
Okay. So you get angry about the people that are like watching it and getting angry about it.
Yeah.
And complaining about it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, why don't you just not watch it?
Exactly. Because like my wife, she'll watch Bridezilla and she just gets... And I agree, those people are absolutely ridiculous. But again, a lot of it's scripted. But you know, she will get so angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you can just not watch. I mean, I don't know, but you know. People that keep watching it is the reason why we have so much, or we continue to have so much excellent TV like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it kind of occurred to me that I don't think there are a lot of people that enjoy it. Like, the Kardashians are my favorite example of something that is just terrible.
Yeah.
And why in the world do they make so much money? And it's because they're so dislikable.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing
on... It makes
us
feel better.
I think in that case, there are a few people that are like, you know, I really want to live like them.
Yes.
But I think they're the minority. I think more people are going, man, these people are idiots,
yeah,
and they
just... You just want to see what happens.
Watching the train wreck. Yeah.
Well, both of those lead us into our two segments here today. Have we given up on, like, official segment...
Okay, that makes it sound really bad. I think what we should say is we're evolving the way that the podcast takes shape.
You can blame it on me.
No, we've had a lot of...
Adam doesn't want to have to edit in all those intros anymore.
Well, you know what? We made good use of them.
Yeah.
You know, here's another thought, and this is something that, you know, will be on the podcast, but we'll be maybe edited out. I don't know.
We'll see.
Maybe we should start naming instead of just numbering our podcasts so that people can look, and instead of being like, what's in SPI number 10,
mm-hmm.
it'll have some clever, catchy name.
I was going to say, it's going to have to be really clever. I was listening to some American Life podcast the other day, and I was like, the names of these are really good.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's stuff that if you look up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's our project for next time then.
Great. As if I don't have enough projects. All right, what do you want? We got two today. Truman Show Delusion or the Dunning-Kruger Effect?
Let's talk about Dunning-Kruger.
All right.
I can tell you're antsy on that, so let's get started on
both,
that
I like both, but Dunning-Kruger's excellent. And, I'm probably going to keep calling it Dunning-Kruger just because I think it sounds cool.
Let's just call it DK.
They refer to it online as the DKE.
Perfect.
Yeah. Donkey Kong effect.
Donkey Kong Extreme.
No. Do you want me to tell you what it means?
Yeah, sure. I think we should start with that because it's relatable. Like, the Truman Show Syndrome is kind of one of those interesting things.
Yeah.
But, and you can probably tell from the name what it is.
I can tell you right now, after researching, and it's, oh, there's just so much here. All right, well, we'll just start with the base. Dunning-Kruger effect is basically that the unskilled people, the unintelligent, a certain category, cannot recognize their own ineptitude on that skill.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are at a certain level of poorness written relating to either a skill or an idea,
mm-hmm.
you are not able, you don't even have the intelligence on that skill to recognize that you are poor at it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish. So I originally fell upon this when I watched a video on YouTube from John Cleese. You think it's Cleese?
Yes, Cleese of Monty Python.
Yeah, and it's a very short video, and we'll post it, or you will. that's just basically did a very short idea of this, and I thought it was very interesting, and so I started looking up some of the research on
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And he really does a good job of pointing it out, and if I can remember what he said, if you are really, really terrible at something, you lack exactly what it needs to realize that you're terrible at it.
Yeah.
You have to have some of that skill to know that you're skilled, that you are poor. And on the other end of things, and it goes to the other side, and that the more intelligent you get or the more knowledgeable about a certain subject, the more you realize you don't know everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
there are a couple things as a part of this, and that's why I think this one's super relatable, because
yeah.
I can kind of see a bunch of different spinoffs. So in a lot of ways, there are... Okay, so the more educated you get, generally you get more specific in your information.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to high school and everybody basically learns the same things, okay? You have some electives, you have a little bit of choice, and then you go to college and, like, I forgot everything that I knew about history because I studied engineering. It just didn't matter to me.
Yeah, you focus. Yeah.
And then further along and further along, and if you're – so one of the most, you know, at least most learned people, if you're a PhD – you know, they study what I would have studied for one course in business or engineering, and that's what their real expertise is.
And they study it for longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, and it's funny. What he touches on too in the DKE is confidence as well. that the lower skilled, the people who don't realize they're bad at it, tend to have a higher confidence in themselves
mm-hmm.
because they think they're amazing.
Right.
They don't realize that they're bad. And then there's some interesting graphs with it. And the better you are at something, you start to lack some of that confidence. And not necessarily that you lack the confidence, but that you start to tend, and this was done on his research and blah, polling and whatever, that you don't think you're special. The better you are, the more you know, the more you realize more people know more, and you don't realize, you know, you're really good at it, but you don't think you are because you just have, you know, because you also realize how much better you could be.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting scale.
Okay, so let's dial it back a little bit, Adam. When you first pitched this idea to me and I was looking at it, there were things that I thought immediately that I could see myself being subject to this effect, or things that I think I'm better at, or that I know I'm worse at. So what are some examples for you? Like, what are some things that you think you're relatively good at or that you don't think you're good at?
That's getting kind of personal, don't you think?
Yeah. That's why I asked you first.
So before I go there, one of the things I kept trying to think about was, okay, this is almost kind of like, I'm going to mispronounce it, Roku's or Roko's? Roku's.
Roko's.
Roko. Yeah. Is it Roko?
Roko, yes.
Like the TV animal thing?
Isn't that a Roku?
I don't know. That's what plays the TV, but there's a cartoon. I think it was Rocko's World or something.
Rocko,
maybe.
Wait, no, that's Rocko's Modern Life.
I don't know. Anyways, you're getting off here. That once you know about it, it ruins it for you.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So there's part of me that thought, okay, if I know that there's the ability or the chance that I might not know that I'm not good at something.
Okay, okay.
Like, once you can bring that question up, once you can question yourself and realizing that that question is there, does that give you the ability to no longer fall into the...
It makes you more objective. Okay, so you're basically what you're saying is that by being aware that this bias exists, you're more prone to avoid the bias yourself.
That's what I assumed. But then I started reading some more into it, and there was a really good, and I have it here, and I might go over a few of them, Reddit AMA with Dunning.
Oh, nice.
And so, and then I found a website afterwards after realizing that, you know, they're... thousands of comments on it. Yeah. There's a great website. Another one I found that kind of focused it down as some main points.
Okay.
And Dunning said, the interesting thing, by definition, you can't know when you're a victim of the Dunning-Kruger effect. And even he says, I've fallen victim to it. So I feel like that bias, now that you know about it, kind of helps you. But on the other hand, you could still, anybody can fall into it. And what I liked about it was that he made one comment on the AMA, and he said, rather, the DKE is an issue that hits everyone within their specific pockets of deficit. So it's not that unintelligent people, this happens to them on everything. It's that everybody is unintelligent about maybe a specific pocket of something.
Okay.
And then so even the smartest people are unintelligent about a certain thing.
Okay.
And so they can fall victim to it there as well.
So here's one of my questions, and maybe this was already answered in this question and answer kind of thing that he went through. My question is, how do you measure that, though? Because obviously they proposed this effect and then they tested for it in a controlled setting.
Yeah.
But if you think you're really good at soccer, but you never play against anybody or whatever, then you're never going to get the validation that you're good or bad or wherever you fall into that ranking. And so without something objective to test against, how do you really say that you are subject to that effect? You know, you could say, okay.
Or you may, I don't know if you would say you're subject, because you would never know.
Right. But you could think that you're better than you are. Like if there was this worldwide 1v1 soccer competition, you would get your true rank, how good you were at soccer. But without that, then you could continue thinking that you're better, and then you may look like a fool when you're eventually, you know, when you play 1v1 against somebody or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and that's interesting. And like one of his things that they figured out through all this, some of the questioning that he brought up was that it takes, to avoid the errors, it takes a village. And he mentions things about surrounding yourself with people that are going to recognize and tell you that, no, one of the things that I was reading up, I had some time the other day and I randomly Googled a kid that was 1 year older than me that I went to school with. He was in the high school that I was in for a while, and he was incredible at basketball, and I knew he had went on to college. And so I was curious, where's this kid at these days? And so I Googled it and kind of searching around, and it went to Arizona, went to Notre Dame, different places, did okay, ended up kind of leaving, ended up going back to the hometown, just kind of hanging out and playing pickup games and stuff. But to me, and based off of some things I read about what he said about issues, you know, he was upset with this here and upset with this here, and he felt like he wasn't being let to play well enough here, and there's a lot of excuses.
Sure.
And then you're back in your hometown playing pickup games. I would imagine in that mind, he feels amazing.
He sees himself in a professional level.
There's excuses why he didn't make it in other places, and then he's back home playing against people that just are near his level, because he is really good. I would imagine that would be one of those places where this kind of takes effect.
Interesting. So big fish in a small pond kind of thing.
But on the other hand, he's not bad. He's not a complete idiot like these are saying.
Yeah.
So maybe there's different levels.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. I think that sometimes you can overestimate or underestimate, but not necessarily be totally wrong.
Yeah.
So I play Smash Brothers, and I love that game. Okay. It's a video game.
Yeah.
It's a fighting game where you play against other people, and they have a quote unquote professional tournament scene that, you know, that plays with all these rules and stuff. And there are a lot of players there because it's also kind of a casual game. And so there are a lot of people that are like, well, I beat up on all my friends with this character. And then at the highest ranks, people that are winning these national tournaments with big prize pools and stuff. No, you're completely wrong. That character and the things you're doing are terrible. However, every now and then, somebody actually will emerge from just out of nowhere that is pretty good, right? Yeah. And it's, I don't know. There's just so many different ways you could take this.
Yeah. Well, let's I'm going to give you an example that I found good from them, and then we'll go to personal and open our hearts to everybody.
All right.
Okay. Theirs was pilots. So, like, you got your beginner pilot, and they fly, and they blatantly know,
and we're talking
no idea what's going on.
RC for...
Nope.
Oh, real pilots.
I'm talking like real pilots.
Okay.
So you got your beginner pilot, and they don't know anything, and they know they don't know anything. But then once they've learned a little bit, and they're able to control it, and I was reading that there tends to be an instant jump into their belief or their confidence. Once they're at an intermediate level, they can fly it, they understand it, they understand a lot of the basics, and they think they're a lot better than they are.
Okay.
And so this effect starts coming into play. Because they haven't had the all the hours and all the years to run into different situations that show them the difficulties that can arise.
Okay, okay.
They've only been in certain situations.
Because 90% of the time, you're going to use the same techniques and it's going to work just fine.
And so that's where, and then, but that's the problem, is because then you have this overinflated confidence based off of you don't have the skills to realize that
gotcha.
You're not good enough. And one of the funny things to me was they said, what should we do to counteract this from the beginning? And it was basically one guy brought up just 1v1, the beginner or the intermediate guy against the best person in the world, just to blatantly smash him.
This is how you are terrible. Yep.
And then so it's a tear down to build up kind of thing.
Right.
So you show him from the beginning, you know nothing.
Uh-huh.
In a good sense. And then from there you can build up. So you never get that false sense of confidence of you knowing everything.
Yes. And depending on what it is, there's kind of a limit to that, right? You can't do any worse than crashing the plane.
Yeah.
But I do think it's good to say, to give people something, I guess, either to aspire to or to challenge what they think they know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I assume that in piloting, as in a lot of things, you know, 5% of the knowledge base will get you through 90% of situations.
Yeah.
So throw them one of these situations that's way out of their zone.
Do realize
you
how
know, you're flying, yes. you're flying in icy weather, you know, high crosswinds, you're trying to land, you know, whatever it may be. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, do it in a simulator.
Exactly.
So when they perish.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned piloting, but the same thing is true of driving.
Yep.
And I think that's why a lot of supercars end up crashed, is because somebody's well, hey, I've got a ton of money, so I'm going to buy a Ferrari.
I can drive the crap out of my Honda, man.
Exactly.
I can handle this thing without any issues.
Exactly. Yeah. But they never drive something with that much power and end up dead or on the side of the road.
That's interesting. All right, you ready?
Okay, do it.
Here's an interesting one that could be, first of all, I'm going to start by saying I do think you have a cute child.
Okay.
But I think the cute babies answers this, because how many people do you know that will admit their baby's
to
ugly?
To have an ugly baby, sure.
But and I think my kids are the cutest kids in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So does that kind of play into this? I mean, I don't know.
I think there may be multiple things. I think that Dunning-Kruger is probably a piece of that. I also think that there's a lot of like hormonal or other kinds of things where maybe you identify yourself in that child and so you're more fond of them because there's recognition. Or
and I think it could be because it's the same way in with our classes. You know, I get my class and after a few weeks, I mean, they're mine and I don't get annoyed or sometimes I get frustrated, but they're mine. I have no problem with any of them. But then I see all the other fifth grade classes and I'm like, oh, I'm glad I don't have those kids.
Uh-huh.
But they feel the same way about my kids sometimes. And so it's
right.
it's because it's yours that you...
Interesting.
Yeah. Here's another one that's gonna be really hard for us to... our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I think we're doing great.
Uh-huh.
But... I don't know.
You don't realize the gap between...
yeah,
right.
But we listen to other ones, and I recognize, especially on a few of them out there, they're at a different level.
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing that I think, whether or not you overestimate... Okay, let me back up. One thing that I think thinking you're good at something encourages is to learn more. And I guess that's personality dependent. You know, if you say, okay, I'm really good at this, I don't need to learn more. Versus people are like, hey, I've got some talent, I've got some predisposition for this, so I'm going to learn more about it. In my case, I'd like to think that I'm one of those learner types, and I'm like, okay, I know that I have some skill at this, what can I do to get better?
Yeah.
And that's when I start realizing the things that I lack and, you know, actually
improving. So maybe that means that we're not at the level of complete idiocy. Because I guess you've got to be at some insanely low level to not have any skill to realize that you don't have that skill.
Yeah. Well, there again, there's little to compare against with us. I mean, we can compare viewership, but in a lot of ways, it's not exactly an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah.
It's not just quality; it's marketing or supporters or whatever.
I was so frustrated. There's a website I frequent, and they're insanely popular, and they recently. I think that, you know, from what I see on the website, they seem to be cool guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they started a podcast. But they already have such an insane fan base. Their podcast, within a week, was one of the top on iTunes.
Right.
And I'm just...
Right.
Who knows? I haven't even listened to it because I'm just kind of, like, frustrated with the idea. And, you know, and it's more oriented towards Hollywood and just different stuff.
Yeah.
But it's... Not that it's bad, but I was like, their content may suck, and these people may not be interesting at all, but they're on the top,
yeah.
And they probably got a ton of people listening to their podcast that didn't even know what podcasts were,
mm-hmm.
Just because of their fame.
Yeah,
but
man, that's so meta. I can't. You went there, and that hurts me.
Sorry, man. After really thinking about this, I think we really suck.
We should just cancel this whole thing.
Nope.
Okay, so the best example that I had of my personal life was, musically, I play guitar and drums. And I would probably, on a bell curve, I would probably estimate myself to be right on average at guitar and maybe a little under average on drums, okay?
Okay.
But I know for a fact that that's because I know more about guitar. So I've played guitar for like 15 years. It's been a super long time, and I haven't done as well as I could in that time frame. I could be a world-class expert maybe if I had really dedicated.
Will you play for us?
No.
Okay.
That's me doing the intro song every week.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to tell people that.
Right. You know, didn't want to self-promote or anything.
Yeah, I know.
But I know a lot of guitar techniques, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't sweep. I can't tap really well. I don't know all these scales and all this stuff that, you know, is important to being a world-class guitarist. And then drums, I'm like, you know, I can keep a beat. I can throw a couple good fills in there. That probably makes me, you know, just under your average drummer. But it's because I haven't studied so much that it kind of – and that was one of the things that I thought about on this effect is that maybe it pulls everybody towards the mean, towards the middle. If you're below that line, you think you're probably average. And if you're above that line, you think you're probably pretty average. And so it kind of pulls everyone to the middle. I don't know.
This sounds good to me. Maybe we can have Dunning on sometime.
It'd be awesome.
One of the things I did read on there was that he did not name it the Dunning-Kruger effect. I didn't really find out exactly who or why or how it got named that, but it's not like he just went out and figured this out and was like,
check this out
for myself. Which I would totally name it after.
Oh, yeah, that's the only reason I want to discover anything.
Yeah. And see, I find it's hard to ask or to try to figure out what things in my life are being affected by Dunning-Kruger because you don't recognize them. Because according to him, if you are truly in the effect, you will not.
Yeah.
You can't even question if you're in the effect, because if you question if you're in it, then you know then you're not.
Hmm. That's probably where the "it takes a village" thing that you said earlier is really important.
For someone to come to me and just say, you know what, just stop doing that.
Yeah. You know what, stop while you're not quite as behind as you could be.
Yeah. So I tried to think back. Has there been a time when I was doing something I thought it was fine and somebody just said, just stop.
Hmm.
I can't.
Yeah, I don't know. I think being open to feedback is kind of a character quality.
Yeah.
Being able to self, and I realize that there may be some distortion based on what you know or don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd like to think that you kind of know within a certain range where you fall.
I think without trying to sound too, I know we are self-proclaimed intellectuals, but without trying to sound too arrogant, I think there is just some levels of intelligence that just don't see it. Mm-hmm. And you've seen those guys and been around those guys who truly just think they're incredible.
Yeah.
And almost no matter what you would say to them, they won't believe you.
Yeah. Well, I realize that it's not a perfect indicator, but we do have a little bit of external on that front, in that we have college degrees and advanced degrees, right?
Yeah.
So that's some level of, you know, not everybody could do that, I guess.
I guess, but, you know, when he said, I think he was trying to point to is that, even, you know, maybe that will keep us from falling to this effect on a wide range of things, but there could still be a little pocket
spot,
of our world.
That, yeah, I agree with that.
So.
Especially maybe taboo topics. I think a lot of people don't realize how poorly they manage their finances or like spousal communication, things that are really hard to quantify and things that you don't really talk about.
Yeah. Especially because no one will ever step into that.
Right.
That's a really good point, because we've been around people too, you know, other marriages sometimes. And I just want to step in and say, you realize what you're doing is just a bad, you know, it's just, things could be so much better if you do this or this. Not that I don't think we have the perfect marriage. Nobody's ever come in and said that to me, but I would never go to say that to somebody.
Right,
nobody else would either. So that'd be
Yeah, so you're blocked from the village that could give you that feedback by social pressure or whatever.
And that is really hard to open yourself to that village on certain topics.
Yeah.
And I, you know,
in that case, you kind of, you know, you can attend marital counseling, or you can see a financial advisor.
But if
or
you
whatever.
Attend marital counseling, you are already aware.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're not in that effect. So
Interesting.
When that brought up a lot of just examples in my brain of people that I feel are maybe in this, and especially on child, raising a child, I feel some of them.
Yeah. Well, and there's, so maybe the other thing too, is that there's so much information and conflicting information. Like, you can't possibly be a good parent. There's no way you can incorporate everything that the experts
say
you should
do. Because if you read all 5 billion blogs from mothers telling their idea of how to do things, you just...
Right. So absence of information or overload of information.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that the big thing is the external validation, though.
Yeah.
Look for things that you can say concretely, okay, well, I got a raise at work, so I'm probably at least this level at, you know, with my job, whatever. Or, you know, you could look up, even on finance stuff, like marital is probably harder to quantify.
Yeah.
But like finances, you could look up net worth or income averages or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Huh. Look it up, people.
So one last question before we move on.
Yeah.
What do you think true professionals think about this? Like, if you were to ask LeBron James, who is well acknowledged as one of the best basketball players of all time, like, LeBron, where do you see yourself in the history of basketball? He would be totally justified in saying, I'm one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
Do you think that he, as someone that has the validation of huge salary, winning championships. Has he won any? Is that one of the big things?
I don't follow sports.
I don't really either.
I barely know who LeBron James is.
But he's got, you know, records, and he's got...
Yeah,
all this...
I think he would recognize it.
So is there a level that you transcend Dunning-Kruger, at least in one area, because you're good enough that you have the validation of the whole world?
That you can claim that you are incredible at it.
Right.
And not be at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah. There's got to be some... upper level, or maybe just not everybody falls into it as the same way. You know, we can't loop everybody as falling.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's got to be and I think personalities come into it too. And I think he did talk some about that certain personalities are going to be more, even if you're really good at something, certain personalities are going to say, yeah, I'm okay at it. You know, humbleness and things like that.
So do you think that, like your friend that played basketball versus LeBron James?
Yeah.
Do you think that, how much of that do you think was attributed to character quality? Like, LeBron in high school thought, you know, if I don't practice, I'm not going to be the best. And so he did.
Whereas
some guy might think, well, I'm already pretty good. I can ease off a little on practice.
I am. This is complete and total speculation. So I don't. And I mean, even when I was around him, I didn't know him that well. So I'm just basing this off of comments and online. But he was. I think he's a good, really good player. Mm-hmm. He played in college, and I think he probably could have done okay. But he was incredible because in our town,
yeah,
and we lived in a tiny rural town in the middle of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
He was so even your mid college player, you know, at Notre Dame, it's gonna be insane there.
Yep. Yep.
I think being raised all those years in that area and being hailed as just this.
Yeah, so his validation was like false.
Because
he was the champion always. He was the best, but it wasn't a big enough grouping to. Wow.
And then once you get to that bigger grouping where you are up against people who are better, your brain's either going to make excuses for why you're not competing well, or you're just going to step back and say, I need to work harder.
Right.
So.
Interesting. Good stuff.
Interesting. You ready to go on the next one?
Well, guys, provide us feedback if you think our podcast is terrible.
We need you, Village.
We did that whole half-hour segment just to ask for people to tell us to quit.
You are our Village, and we are the Village Idiot. Please let us know.
And if we can tell you that you're bad at something in a helpful and loving way,
we will.
Let us know, and we'll do that on the air.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We want you to come on here and admit your terribleness at something.
There you go.
All right. You ready for Truman Show?
Yeah, I kind of figured that one would be shorter.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, I don't know, because I got deeper in it. I have all sorts of stuff here. Truman Show delusion is almost as easy to figure out as any psychological delusion would be.
Yeah, we really get out of our comfort zone on these, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Our education does not touch this at all. Yeah, yours might, I guess.
No.
No? Not think so. Maybe a little
bit. So the Truman Show delusion was coined by the Gold Brothers. I saw Joel Gold most referenced, but it's the Gold Brothers. And basically what happened was at some point, I think around 2003, I think the movie, Truman Show was a movie. Should we go over the Truman Show?
Do it.
Okay, the Truman Show is a movie with the incredible actor, one of the best ever lived, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
I watched Bruce Almighty for the first time the other day.
It was interesting.
It was okay. I give it like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Go on.
Okay. And basically what happened, is, if I remember right, I guess I should have watched it for study purposes. He was born and raised in a big dome. Every second of his life was recorded and broadcast on national television. And it was the epitome of reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For him, it was reality.
Yes. Yes. And then he eventually started realizing there were some interesting things going on. And eventually he solved the own mystery and figured out that he was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think back in 2003-ish, somebody, from what I remember, a guy went to New York to make sure that it was in New York, the Twin Towers,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that that had actually happened. Because he believed that was a complete falsity that was put forth in his Truman world.
Right, it was fed to him to see how he'd react.
To see how he would react.
Okay.
And if he got there and saw that it actually had happened or didn't happen, he would know for sure if he was on this show.
Gotcha. And it was the equivalent of him going across the water and touching the outside of
it. He went to the police with it to report something or to talk about it, and then they sent him to the psychological hospital. So that's basically it. It's basically people who have a sickness, a mental illness, that believe they are in a reality show. They believe people are watching them, and that is, they are in the middle of a Truman Show.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it had mentioned how after that, people actually started coming to him and saying and referencing the Truman Show.
Right. So, as if that was enough to say that, hey, this is a real thing. And
well, and that's what I found interesting, is I looked into it, and basically what it said was this issue hadn't been here for a long time. The Truman Show gave people an idea they could place onto what they were thinking. So they're saying, you know, back in the 50s or 60s or 70s, these same people would think it's the CIA watching me, or it's
right.
But now in the world of reality TV, they just have another outlet to claim what it is.
Paranoia takes on a new name.
Exactly,
yeah.
The paranoia is just another route that they can go through.
Okay, interesting.
So here's where I went with this. I originally heard about this on another podcast, and then they got into some other things. Have you ever heard of Roger Baker?
Huh.
Back in the I should have written it down.
Tell me about Roger.
40s, 50s, I think.
Roger, 40s, Roger,
Roger.
What's our Victor?
Roger Barker. Barker? Did I say Baker or Barker?
You said Baker.
I meant Barker.
All right.
what about Oskaloosa?
I can't say that I have.
It's Kansas. It's a city in Kansas. Tiny little city. Oh. I'm assuming close to Lawrence, because he became...
I bet it's charming.
A director at KU in an apartment. And what he wanted to do was kind of Truman Show. He wanted to research...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wrote it down. The naturally occurring behavior of free-ranging persons. So he wanted to go Truman Show on people.
Free-ranging persons and chickens. Okay.
He wanted to see. He thought that if you could watch people 24 hours a day for a long time, that he would discover you could get just incredible information.
Right.
Long story short, they did it. And specifically, they really focused on one boy, which they called Raymond Birch, which isn't his real name. And like, we're talking like, Raymond woke up one morning and there's a scientist in his room. And, like, they recorded every minute. 7:01, Raymond picked up a sock.
Oh, man.
7:02, he walked out. I mean, minute by minute.
Ouch.
And then they published it in a book.
That sounds like the worst.
Like 500 pages. Possible job. 500 pages of nothing but minute by minute commentation. And then and Roger thought this was going to be it. This was going to be like one of the greatest things that we could research, and it proved to be totally bunk.
Yeah.
And they did another research at another time, and they said more recently, after thousands of hours of video and 32 homes and just watching people, they basically came to the conclusion that it was a fire show of stress, multitasking, and mutual nitpicking. After watching Homes and Families and that's for life. Thousands of hours, that's what they discovered.
Did these, so obviously in was it Raymond's case, he knew because there was dude standing there. There's also, we've talked about the observer effect or the Hawthorne effect, whatever you want to call it, that people behave differently when they know they're being watched. In these other cases, these other homes, were they aware that there was observation?
Well, they had video cameras placed in their house. Okay. So yeah, and I would imagine at some point your brain kind of turns off to it. But
it's just
all that leads me back to some interesting, like with the Truman Show, if we had the abilities to make that happen, would it actually be a show people would watch? Would people want to watch your just daily life?
You know, I think that on a small level, it depends on who you are and how interesting you are. Because there are like YouTube channels where people just basically record their life and parse it down to snippets, and people love it. People eat it up. Like they have tons of subscribers.
But those people are playing that part. They know they're recording. It's the same thing. Yeah. That's becoming reality TV as it is today.
That's true.
Those people are totally fake.
But like kids and animals, that kind of thing, you can't script very well. You can't predict what they're
doing. But I mean, if a Truman Show, the person really, truly had absolutely no idea that they were being watched.
Yeah.
Would that be interesting?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, behind the Truman Show, there was a script, and they kind of had these love dramas and stuff that
other people kind of forced him into those situations.
Right, and work dramas that they would integrate into his life to make it interesting. Yeah. And so they were telling a story even though he was, you know, acting out his character in real time.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this, and then we can be done. But all this the whole Truman Show delusion, although interesting to me and it was kind of cool, just kind of led me on a thought process.
Okay.
Okay, so this led me to thinking, okay, they did this, you know, Roger Barker did all this research, created this book, and basically all the scientists, all the people said this is completely useless.
Okay.
For our needs.
Right.
This does nothing. And
it seems a little unscientific.
Yeah. Well, and they
like,
kind of
observation is one thing, but good observation is more important.
Well, and they poked fun at it. Like, they're talking about one point where Raymond Birch, the boy, he was walking, and then he picked up a bat. And then he swung it at a rock, and he missed. But then the bat hit the pole, and the pole made a cool sound. And then so he kept swinging around the pole and hitting the pole with the bat. And then I was like, okay, is that scientific, and is that good research that's going to help us progress to humankind? No.
Right.
But the way that they made it sound was like, he is so boring, and that's so terrible. But after now having a four-year-old, if I watched him go into the backyard and swing a bat and just enjoy the simplicity of the sounds and the discovery he's making in life, that's incredible to me.
Hmm.
So it's interesting to me now, the juxtaposition of a scientist looking down on us saying, this gives us no data. This is absolutely not interesting at all. Your daily life means nothing to us.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, to seeing my four-year-old do those things that they say is pointless and saying, this is the most incredible thing I've seen, because he just discovered something that he's never done before. And although completely meaningless to you, this is huge.
Yeah.
So it almost belittled real life.
Hmm.
And I feel we're starting to get into that issue is your Instagram and Facebook world. People see reality TV and they see what you post on Instagram and think everybody else's life is incredible.
Right. Because you only post the good stuff.
Their life is not that way, and we don't realize that that's not how life is.
Right. People post the highlights. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just this whole...
You're comparing your everyday life to somebody else's highlight reel.
And we start thinking our everyday life is something that's not good, when in fact it is, but you just have to have the perspective of...
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's some interesting stuff that I feel leads through all those. But.
Interesting. So, okay. Well, when we discussed this topic, or when we... pitched it.
Yeah.
There were a couple of thoughts that I had after looking into it a little bit. One, and they're kind of scatterbrained. So
yeah, that's all right.
One is...
As if we're like normally
that's true.
Straight shooting podcast.
Well, that's okay. is that... maybe this Truman Show delusion is an extension of things that are known to be true, like government observation and government surveillance.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of an extension of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see people arriving at the same conclusion after reading 1984, where they have this police state, everything is watched and observed and analyzed. And it's kind of, like I said, paranoia under a new name. But maybe without going fully to thinking that they're on a reality television show that they're the star of, I think there's probably a lot of people that have a more measured, moderate form where they say, you know, I do think I'm being watched. I do think I'm being observed and tracked at a closer level than is really happening.
You know, and that kind of separates people too, because we put those people into a group of crazies,
mm-hmm.
right?
They're already conspiracists.
They're crazies. Yeah. So, but I think lots of times on the other side is, you know, people are calling them crazy. Don't really understand that a lot of what they think might be possible or true.
Right.
I mean, do I believe
you wouldn't know if you didn't know, right?
We have this computer in front of us that has a built-in camera.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe we're being watched right now? No. But I believe there is the ability out there that if somebody wanted to hack into my computer and watch through that camera, they
right.
could.
Adam, what if we're being listened to right now?
Dude, shut up. It's creepy.
What would you say?
What
would you say to the people that are listening to you right now, Adam?
Do you really think they're listening to us?
Maybe.
Maybe that's our delusion, because we think people are listening to
there
us.
There you go. I just downloaded from a bunch of different computers.
Our wives feel terrible for us, so they've created like 300 iTunes accounts.
They're up there right now. Just
when we record,
gotta pad their stats.
We gotta make them feel good about this. Maybe we are right now in the Dunning-Kruger effect.
This is bizarre, and that's where it always ends up with these freaking psychological things. It's like, you know, we spend enough time doing these psychological podcasts, we're gonna end up messed up, Adam.
I'm okay. I'm pretty sure I'm already pretty messed up.
Oh, perfect.
But that's what we were talking about before. This is what's so frustrating about this, because I started reading on Truman Show or the Dunning-Kruger especially, and there is just page after page after page of interpretation on different parts of it, and that leads you into a different kind of effect.
Yeah.
And there's so many are correlated. I definitely feel the least prepared ever for these, because there are so many insane levels of it.
Dunning-Kruger at work. You're actually an expert, Adam.
You just
know all the things you don't know. That's okay.
I realize that there's so much I don't know. That means I'm at least not a complete total idiot.
And that's good enough for me.
I am a confident idiot. that's good enough.
I'm glad.
I'm gonna go take a shower and pretend people are watching me.
that'll be a fun time for everybody.
Yeah.
Except for you, I guess.
But truly, I mean, Truman Show. My life would suck as a... I love my life.
Yeah.
But it would suck as a TV show, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not exciting. I don't know.
I think, and one of the other things was, you know, some people probably have a desire. So it's not that they're delusional from the get-go. It's that they have a desire to be that important or to be that interesting. And so they just kind of lead themselves down that path of, I don't know.
You know, a more specific... where this completely applies, at least in my mind, is anytime I'm around, and obviously I'm not picking on them specifically, but there's so much more of it around here. Anytime I'm around Spanish-speaking people,
mm-hmm.
I don't know Spanish. And anytime I'm directly in close proximity to them, I swear they're talking about me.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they are.
And that's and that's probably a related thing to Truman Show, because, you know, it's just a... It's not anthrocentrism. It's self-centric, I guess.
Yeah.
Where because you're you, you think things are
about you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that are that way, you know.
But I am just a really interesting person, so maybe they are talking about me.
Do you ever worry if like all the people in your life are conspiring against you, like they're your enemies, but they've all just decided to, you know,
like Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Isn't that what that movie was?
I guess, kind of.
No.
Oh, okay. That's something. I'm like, do people really like me, or do they just hang out with me because they don't want me to, you know, call them out?
See, maybe this is the DK, because I believe I would be smart enough to recognize that they were playing me.
Yeah. I don't know. I like you, Adam. It's not a lie.
Whatever.
But it could be.
I saw my wife slip you some cash the other day for trying to be my friend.
That's right.
I'm okay with it.
Well, you can pay for friends.
Can you?
Oh, yeah. Like, you can rent people on Craigslist to hang out with you for a day.
Huh.
I assume.
Did we find you on Craigslist?
Higher cost with varying levels of attractiveness or something. I don't know.
We'll have to look into that.
We should. We should rent a friend for a day, and that'll be a podcast.
Rent a friend and let them record with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could be interesting.
You just buy yourself a co-host.
What is right now? I haven't been in a bank account for a while. What's the official SPI budget currently?
A lot. We could buy someone very attractive. We could buy Kate Upton right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, I assume she's attractive, but she's probably pretty like inexpensive because, you know, the Super Bowl ad with Clash of Clans,
been all over the Clash of Clans.
That was a miss.
Did they make that much money?
That's exactly what everyone's asking. Like, how did this, you know, hole in the wall mobile game, although the Liam Neeson one for, what was it? like War of Ages or something. That was way better. Kate Upton was not a great actress.
Here's the problem, though. If we get her, I don't think she would be as appealing over a podcast format.
That's a really good point. So we need Liam Neeson or Morgan Freeman.
That's true. Yeah, we got to get Morgan.
We need some sex appeal, though. Who has a sexy female voice?
I don't know.
We'll look into that.
I would assume we would have to see our wives.
And next time on Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals.
What's next time?
I don't know. I was hoping you'd splice something in there.
We gotta get better at closing now.
You left me hanging, man.
Sorry.
Well,
I'm still trying to figure out if I'm an idiot.
Oh, here we go. Here's how we'll close.
Okay.
Thanks everybody for listening. No, it's gonna come around.
Okay.
Thanks everybody for listening. Go to our website. Leave us some comments. Tell us if we suck or not. Rate us on iTunes. Subscribe. Send us suggestions. Whatever. And
quit watching.
If I don't see ya, good afternoon. Good evening. And good night.
What is that from?
Truman Show, man.
Is it?
That's his line.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe I missed that.
You're going to cut it right after I say goodnight.
I will. Okay.